I'm all about building communities, celebrating unique journeys, and sharing stories about the paths people have taken to enter the tech industry. Join me as we explore the skills my guests have learned in their prior jobs, schooling, or life experiences, and how they apply them to their current roles in tech. My guest today is a math teacher turned software engineer with a goal of supporting folk entering the tech field. She has a degree in math and spent 2 years teaching middle and high school students before deciding it wasn't quite the right fit. She attended an online coding school called Launch School and was fortunate to participate in one of the first cohorts of Collab Lab, a project-based collaborative experience for new developers, and currently works as a software engineer at New Relic.
I could go back to when I was looking at becoming a teacher and say, don't go that route. But honestly, I think now is a good time for me to get into where I'm at. And I don't know if I would go back and change how I did it.
I'm your host, Lauren Lee, and this is We Belong Here, Lessons from Unconventional Paths to Tech.
Her name is Mindy Zwanziger. Mindy, welcome to the
Thanks.
Show.
I'm glad to be here.
So happy to be talking to a fellow teacher. Mm-hmm. I myself transitioned from being an English teacher into tech. So yeah, I'm stoked for our conversation today.
Yeah, absolutely.
I suppose we shall start from the beginning and go back in time. Can you tell me more about the experiences that you had before you entered the tech industry?
Absolutely. I have wanted to be a teacher for a long, long time. I think since I was 5 years
Aww.
Old. Came from a long line of teachers. My grandpa was a principal and a teacher. And I remember watching my grandpa teach and just watching him be so patient mm-hmm. and so kind with all of his students. And I was like, that sounds great. That sounds like something I want to do.
Was he also a math teacher?
He did a lot of different subjects, if I recall correctly. He actually mm-hmm. Owns some learning centers, I think, down in California. And just all over the place in education. It was definitely a passion of his, for sure. And I definitely wanted to be passionate about what it was I was working on. And I thought that sounds, helping people is always something that I want to do. And ever since mm-hmm. I was a kid. And mm-hmm. so I went to college for that. I got a degree in math and math education. Graduated in 2011, which was just a couple of years after the recession. So everything was still kind of getting back to normal. And there weren't a ton mm-hmm. of teaching jobs, at least in Oregon.
Sure.
It's pretty rough to try and find that first position.
Did you do substitute teaching and all that kind of to try and find your entry into the classroom?
That would have been an excellent idea. I did not.
I was also looking at that same time for a teaching role, and I just applied across all of the U.S. Set my net really, really widely and, ended up, I was in school in California, ended up in Seattle because couldn't find a place to take me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, totally appreciative of the opportunity. Oh, I also had my elementary teaching credential. Mm. They gave me a job teaching senior English.
Oh, wow. So that's a little bit different.
Never used. I have my degree in K-8, just elementary. And not once did I ever tiptoe towards that world. I was 22 teaching seniors. They were 18 years old, seeing me at the, or the 18 and up clubs. And they'd be like, yeah, what are you doing here? I'd be like, what are you doing here? What are we all doing?
I could definitely relate. Oh, there were a couple of years that I taught folks who were senior level or 11th grade. And I was so young. I'm like, this isn't, they're barely... barely younger than I am.
Such a baby face too. And I remember back to school night, when the parents all come and you'd be walking the halls and they'd be like, what class are you supposed to be in right now? And I'm like, get in here. I'm the teacher. Oh my gosh. Oh, wow. I'm getting flashbacks right now. I'm feeling a little nervous, but okay. Anyway, so what did you do while you were searching to find the teaching role?
I ended up doing just a random assortment of jobs. I was a barista for a while. I was a property manager for an apartment complex for a little while.
Oh, gosh.
So many random things.
But were you kind of always searching for that teaching job?
I definitely could have been a lot more on the ball with it, for sure. but I did eventually start working pretty earnestly to get that first teaching job. And I did.
Nice.
And it was nothing like what I expected it to be at all. Which is very
fairly
common, I think. Definitely was one of the hardest years I've had was that first year teaching, and it was just, it was not what I expected. And I thought, well, you know, this isn't really what I want to do. I don't want it to be like this. And, you know, there's part of me that wants to try again. So I went to a different school the next year. So the first year was at a 7 through 12 school. I taught middle school and high school classes, very wide variety of students all in the same class too, which was rough. And the second year I moved to a high school and taught mostly freshmen and sophomores doing algebra and geometry. And it was an easier school for me. Just the different issues that presented that school were a little bit easier for me emotionally and mentally. And it still wasn't what I wanted.
I was just saying, I mean, it's got to be really rough when you have such a wide variety or range of ability or math understanding, I bet, in a class that for that first year, to like, how do you individually meet each kid where they're at and tailor that lesson so that it's challenging for the kids that are like cusping out of it, but then comprehensible for the kids that are barely grasping it. Oh my gosh. It just, my first year, I was buried under a pile of essays forever. Like that was just, I could never escape the ever growing stack of papers to grade. And they all felt like they were the exact same thing over and over. Which is why eventually I left, but I stayed for way too long. But no, it was valuable and I got so much out of it. I like have such a conflict while thinking back on it because it was, anyhow. Okay.
That is something I feel like with other teachers is we could talk about education and our time in education for hours.
100%. Yeah. Like and then there are just like some kids that it feels so great to like really help them make sense of it, something, or it's just like have that light bulb moment of like, I get it now. And that is just like why we did it. Mm-hmm. And it was so incredible. Wow. 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 Yeah. Anyhow. Okay. So you then after at that school, is that when you were like, wait, I think maybe I should learn to code, or where did that come into things?
It didn't come in quite yet. Knew I didn't want to be a teacher. I definitely knew I didn't want to be a teacher at that point. And it was, I didn't know what else I wanted to do. I looked at going to grad school. I loved math and I loved learning. And I was like, that sounds great. Let me just go to grad school. But I had no idea what I wanted to do with that still. I was like, ultimately, you know, getting into more student loan debt so that I could just continue learning math, probably not the best idea.
But it stinks. It's like those moments are really tough. Those pivotal, like, well, what? Okay, I'm going to leave this job, but to go do what? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know this isn't it, but I've spent my whole life prepping to be a teacher. And then it's not it. Like, what? What do you do? Ugh,
it was,
I can relate.
Such a rough moment and such a rough moment for years.
A moment, if you will. Yeah.
And basically what I ended up doing is I started looking for jobs that I could use my math degree. I looked at like data analyst positions, for example, and just kind of tried touching a few different things, looking into a bunch of different ideas. And ultimately, I actually ended up getting a temp job. Just to kind of, you know, make the money as I'm figuring out what I want to do with my life at a, I was at a civil engineering firm as an admin. I planned on staying there for, you know, just a few months, just an interim job for sure. Mm-hmm. Stayed there for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Stop. No.
It was not at all, not at all what I expected.
Oh my gosh.
And I stayed for as long as I did because the people there were amazing. And it was there that I learned, you know, how important it is to have a good team around you. And it was great. It was a very good learning experience throughout the whole time. I definitely was still trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I, for a little while, tried being a bookkeeper on the side. And, you know, what does accounting, is that what I want to do? Is bookkeeping what I want to do? Do I want to own a small business somehow? You know, just testing the waters.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like sometimes nice to have something like that where you can explore and start trying to redefine what it is that kind of fills you up and gives you passion and is just engaging and interesting each day. Okay, but then I'm assuming that's when software tech came into your world?
Yes, it started to.
Okay.
So I it started to. I was always looking for a new challenge. I definitely picked up on all of the admin work fairly quickly and started working on changing processes within the company and, you know, started automating stuff left and right because we used Google Suite and I'm like, oh, I want to automate this. And then I started playing around with Google Scripts and realizing, oh, this is really fun. Also, at the same time, believe it or not, I actually did some engineering work, some civil engineering work.
Oh, cool. <laughs> Yeah.
I got a chance to kind of play around with a few different tasks and tools and things that they use. I had one engineer in particular, I remember, was always on my side for pushing people to let me do more within the engineering thing. She's like, you could do this. You have a math degree. You're on top of this. Like, you could totally be an engineer. And I was like, I also don't entirely know if I want to be an engineer, at least a civil engineer. Right. But one time while I was talking to her and her partner after work, her partner, who is a software engineer, or at least was a software engineer at AWS, was like, have you ever looked into coding? And that kind of kicked it off.
You know, it's so funny. It feels like that is a common thing where someone from the outside is like, hey, why don't you take a look at this? Like, kind of put two and two together for us, because it's like that wasn't even a possibility, or we had no idea that it existed even, or it's like we have a rather like novice or zoomed out lens of what a hacker is, or, you know, from movies and stuff like that. But the idea of like, wait, I could do that or I could learn that. What do you mean? Okay. So were you like, sure, I guess I'll take a look? Or
I thought about it. And I, at that point, it was me realizing I did in fact have some preconceived notions. Like, I totally pictured software engineers were those people in this dark room with no windows on like giant computers from the 90s, just in dark rooms coding all day long. Like, that was the image in my head. I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Like, I remember it wasn't even that I didn't want to do it. It was just like, well, I don't fit into that. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
That isn't me. I don't see myself in that industry. I see myself in like the humanity side of it, or just like, I don't know. It didn't match. And I thought that was a limitation then. Mm. And gosh, well, let's debunk that 100%. If we can in our lifetime. Damn. But okay. So once that kind of opened up, I guess, if you will, for you, what came next?
I just started Googling a bunch, which is, you know, the life of a software engineer. Yeah. So there's that.
True.
And I just looked at a few different options and, you know, looked at a few different boot camps, and I landed at Launch School, which honestly I can say a lot of good things about. Are an interesting code school. They're a little abnormal in my opinion. They're kind of like a mix between a boot camp and self-study, where it has a lot of the structure of a boot camp. There's teachers and TAs and tests and all sorts of stuff like that, but they have a lot of, it's very self-paced. So you go through it at your pace. They're very big on mastery-based learning, which as a teacher, I'm like, that sounds great. Like, I would like to completely know something before I move on to the next thing.
Sure.
And, you know, they were more affordable than a lot of other options as well. And so I jumped in on that, and I'm very glad I did. I feel like I got a really great foundation from that school. And yeah, it was a great opportunity, a great chance to jump in. Funny thing, I never actually finished.
Launch School, you didn't?
No, I totally got distracted, which it's funny because the teachers and the founders of the school, they warn about that all the time. Like, you really should stay focused and not kind of get distracted by all of the tons of options you can have with learning to code.
Especially, I guess, because it's self-paced. Mm-hmm. It's easy then to then self-discover something different and be like, I'll come back to that. Or if, I don't know, that would be tough. I in my program, it was so structured, so tight, like fast paced, even though it was a 6-month program of like in classroom instruction, there was no time to discover anything else or even learn a new vocabulary outside of it. And so, it like, I was very unaware until suddenly internship time and it, you know, off into the wild we went, and then suddenly it was like, oh, okay, there are a lot of things out here.
Hello, We Belong Here listeners. Today's episode is sponsored by the new We Belong Here Discord community. I recently have been thinking about ways to continue the conversation with guests after each episode, to foster our community, share resources, and stay connected to both the guests and listeners. And I'm excited because we've created a We Belong Here Discord server. What is Discord, you might be asking? Well, it's a voice, video, and text communication service to talk and hang out with your friends and communities. I know, neat, right? It will be a place for us to connect, share resources, mentor, and build community together. Everyone is welcome, and it promises to be an incredibly inclusive space. It's important to me that everyone has an inclusive community where everyone feels welcome and supported. And this could be yours. If this sounds like something you'd be interested in joining, please do. The link to join is bit.ly/webelongdiscord. That's bit.ly/webelongdiscord, DISCORD. Or find a link in my bio on Twitter or Instagram at @lolocoding. I'm super excited to see you there.
But okay, so what did you get distracted by?
Well, I think the first thing that distracted me is I went to the ACT W conference in Portland, which is Advancing the Careers of Technical Women.
Yeah, wait, we had an ACT W conference when I was in Seattle through Chick Tech.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, oh my gosh, love them.
Yeah,
I didn't ever go to the Portland one, but I went to the Seattle one. Very cool.
Yeah, it was a wonderful experience. And I learned a ton and I got to meet people. And one of the people I got to meet was somebody who worked at New Relic. And I had been to New Relic a few times for a few different meetups, like with Women Who Code and PDX Women in Tech, and like all of these different organizations met there. And I'm like, this looks cool. All excited about it without really understanding what it was that I was excited about, which is fine. But, you know, she's wanted to meet with me, and she's like, let's get together and talk about how your background as a teacher can fit in with what you need as a software engineer. Which was wonderful. Like the fact that she specifically took time apart and we had like a video conference talk about how I could fit in.
Right. I love that. Wow.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. We need people like that in our world that will take some time, get to know us, give advice, personalized advice, you know, that's mentorship in its best form. Well, in one of its best. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. And I applied for a job and I didn't get it, which was sad for sure. And but I did, you know, it kind of launched me into starting to apply probably before I was ready applying for jobs. But I did. And here we are today. So it's okay. It all worked out.
You know, yeah, I was going to say it's tough because I hate to hear you even still have that feeling because I feel like there isn't any right time to apply. And I think folks sometimes when they finish a boot camp or something think like, oh, I need to learn more or it's not time yet. And like, I think that can be really problematic or debilitating because there isn't ever going to be a moment where you say, okay, I've learned everything. I know the internet and I know all that there is to know, it's time. Like we'll never get there with there's just too much to know. And even the most senior principal staff software engineers will never know everything. And so I don't know. I just would, I get nervous when I hear people being like, I'm not ready to apply or I need to, I just want like rip the Band-Aid off and start interviewing at the very least, because that is in itself like experience, good experience to have.
It's true. It's true. And there's definitely something to be said about self-censoring. Like you shouldn't self-censor, let other people censor for you.
The easiest thing they could, or like the worst thing is they say no, you know, if you, oh my gosh, am I really going to do a Wayne Gretzky quote right now? But like, you miss all the shots you don't take. Hey. Or is that it? I'm not really sure that's it. But you know what I mean. You got to at least try.
It's true.
Before you go, whatever. I'm not going to speak in cliche today. Anyway. So you found a role, an application engineer trainee role for an internship. Yes.
Sort of. Actually, I might go back just a little bit before that. After not getting the job at New Relic, I ended up connecting with someone over Twitter, and they had been going through this thing called CoLab Lab. And I was like, that sounds amazing. It's just this opportunity to work on a team on software with other people. And you have like a professional developer group of people who are mentors to you, and they're kind of walking through with you and teaching you, you know, things about code reviews and demoing and kind of all these like base things that I never experienced before. And it was phenomenal. The people at CoLab Lab are absolutely 100% amazing, wonderful people with wonderful heart and wonderful vision. I can't say enough good things about CoLab Lab and the experience that it gave me.
That's great. I mean, first off, love the name. I think I said it incorrectly at the beginning. I called it Collab Lab, but it's CoLab Lab.
You know, I've heard people say it both ways, so I don't know that.
Okay. I think it's so neat. A project-based collaborative experience for new developers. Mm-hmm. Like, hello, those are all the buzzwords I love. I just think that is like, you know, it gives you experience to work on a project. Then you have stuff to talk about in an interview. It just like sets you up for the next step in a really tangible way.
100%. Yeah.
How did you find them? Like, what was that process?
It was literally, it was actually Caitlin Greffley on Twitter. Yes.
We just interviewed her. Caitlin.
Yes.
Oh.
I remember I ran into her on Twitter and just thought like, A, she was hilarious because I swear half of her tweets were just, I was laughing. It was great. And
100%.
Yeah. So I followed her and she started talking about this CoLab Lab and I'm like, yes, sign me up. And I immediately went to the website and signed up and I was part of the second cohort right after Caitlin. So that was,
oh my gosh, so cool. Shout out. After you're done listening, don't leave this episode, listener, but when you're done with this one, go listen to the Caitlin one if you haven't yet. Oh my gosh, that's so great. Wow, really cool. Yeah, once again, shout out to the like power of community and, you know, surrounding yourselves with folks in the industry so that you can like ask these questions and, you know, this like natural way to find mentors, but also just cohorts, if you will. That's great. Very cool. So that was kind of what you used as a launch pad.
Yeah. Yes. I was able to use a lot of what I learned from CoLab Lab in all of the interviews that I had after finishing CoLab Lab.
Yeah.
And I actually, shortly after, I got in the top three choices, I think, for a position at a really great company. And then didn't end up getting that one, but I got an offer from a small company called Sitka Technology Group. And they were, which actually I have to do another shout out beyond that, though, because I didn't think I should apply because I didn't know the language and I felt like I wasn't qualified for it. And someone reached out to me through Women Who Code, partially because I was complaining. I was like, I've been trying to apply for 6 months and I'm not getting anywhere. And and everybody was like, I understand. Like, it's so rough because it really is. Finding that first job is insanely rough.
Oh, my gosh.
And so somebody reached out and they're like, you should go ahead and apply for this. Like, I got partway through when I was looking for a job. And honestly, like, I didn't know any C# either. And it was totally fine. Like, you should give it a try. And I did. And I got the job. So, I mean,
nice.
There's self-censoring and then there's choosing to step out and hope that it's a position that's willing to look at that in a different way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I got in there. It was an application engineer trainee. Yeah. And it was a sort of internship. Like, they did a short few months as that position. And then they would potentially hire you on as a software engineer. Like, it wasn't actually a for sure thing. Shortly after, however, I had been interviewing with the New Relic Ignite program before I started working at Sitka. And shortly after I started at Sitka, they actually came back and said, hey, we'd like to hire you in the Ignite program.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Tell me about the Ignite program.
So the Ignite program is, again, a wonderful opportunity. John Hyland is the manager of that program at New Relic. He's on Twitter and definitely somebody that's wonderful to follow. Ignite program is a way to take folk who are new to the industry, and you get to experience New Relic on a bunch of different teams for a certain amount of time, and then you get placed on a team.
Oh, I've heard of things like that. That is so cool. Like rotations where you kind of get to test the waters of different products to be kind of working on, and also team dynamics and things like that.
Yeah. And it's a really great opportunity. Sadly, because of COVID, I didn't actually get to do the rotation.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was a disappointment, but you know, they weren't ready to do it remotely. They have since actually restarted the program with remote as an option, which is wonderful. And I'm excited because it opens the door for so many other people also, like not just the people that are here in Portland. So that's a wonderful thing that's happening. But I did get placed on a team and you know, there's my team is wonderful, amazing group of people. And I'm really excited and happy where I'm at New Relic.
That's awesome. That is so great. It's so cool to hear all the different things that you shout out that were a part of your journey that helped you kind of take on, be ready for the next part of it. Mm. And it's so cool that now those are resources that we can share. I'll definitely, of course, include them in the show notes. But just, yeah, it seems like, wow, really cool things kind of contributed all to help you get to a role that hopefully now feels fulfilling and interesting and engaging. All the things that, unfortunately, the other things weren't. And, you know, I don't know. It just is. It's a bummer to hear about time spent where you're like, man, this isn't super fun. But hopefully it all led you to where you are now, if you will.
It did. And I couldn't be happier being a software engineer. This is exactly what I wanted to do. I just didn't know it.
Well, that's kind of the question. Gosh, I always ask, like, what kept you from entering tech before you did, but it sounds like you fall into the camp of like, well, I didn't even know that was an option. Mm-hmm. Like, I love math. I would have done it. Like, it's not like you were sometimes you find people that are math phobic and think that you need math to get in, but instead, like, it sounds like you grew up like loving math.
I did. And I honestly, I actually dabbled a little bit in like HTML and CSS when I was a kid. Neopets was a thing that I did.
Neopets. I was going to say GeoCities or Neopets. Which one were you? Yeah. Okay. Got it. Yep. Got it.
And I enjoyed it then. You know, it's one of those things like I wish I had thought about it. But I think honestly, the computer science aspect of it did kind of push me away from it. Like I didn't.
100%.
I never had a love for like talking about hardware. And, you know, I knew the people that did like they just loved all these things about all these different hardware pieces of computers. And I'm just like, I don't really enjoy that. I don't know that that's the thing that I want to do.
Yeah. It feels like only those were welcome in it too. I can definitely relate to that piece. Okay. So, but do you find now today that your past in teaching or in bookkeeping or all the admin work, like, do you end up using the skills that you developed before learning to code today as a software engineer?
100%.
I love it.
And I, you know, starting broadly, I think with all the different positions I was in, I interacted with a lot of different types of people. So being able to communicate with a diverse group of people was huge. And learning how to do that effectively, I think, was a big piece. I think in teaching, that's, you know, doubly so because you're working with students from a lot of different backgrounds. You're working with students with a lot of different levels of understanding, a lot of different ways that they communicate and the ways that they learn best and that sort of thing. So that's doubly so for teaching. I think with teaching, there's this piece of working with students where you have to assess where folks are at and figure out how best to explain it to them because there's those knowledge gaps in there somewhere or another. And you don't know what those are when a kid's first like, I don't know how to do this, which isn't always the most helpful.
And you're like, okay, let me approach this and try and explain it a different way. And then they still don't get it. And you're like, okay, hold on. Let me back even further up and approach this from a totally new way. And yeah, it's just trial and error almost until you hit something that works. And yeah, like that tailored, individualized, but scaffolded version of things. And it's like consumable in the, you know, maybe I only had my kids for 45 minutes at a time always. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, how do you pack that time period so that, you achieve the goal you're setting out for the beginning of the lesson plan. And I don't know, there's just so many things I think there. Wow.
Yeah. Whew. I mean, working with people, you don't know what they don't know because that is the thing about software engineering is there's so many. I mean, like you said, senior software engineers are still learning. They still have gaps in their knowledge. Yep. And those gaps
still are Google every day.
Yeah. And those gaps are growing too. You know, every day that there's a new tool out there, a new framework, unless people are actively working to fill those gaps all the time, those gaps are growing in senior software engineers as well. And so if you're coming in with some sort of understanding, or even just the understanding about how a particular code, like piece of code works that you wrote, being able to talk to somebody and say, okay, they're missing this particular piece of information, and be able to explain it in a way that's helpful for them, and recognizing when you've explained it and it hasn't hit.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, 100%.
And I think that's so key, is just being able to explain and assess understanding and respond accordingly, I think is huge. Coming from the teaching background. Fair. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Can you share any life lessons that you've learned from your transition to tech?
I think a big one for me has been learning to get over my ego and speak up has been a big thing. Mm. I definitely am the kind of person who will say something and then feel uncomfortable and like worried and like, did I say the right thing? And maybe I shouldn't have said that. That sounded dumb. I have a lot of those insecurities. And so pushing past that and saying, you know, this is my opinion on this particular thing or what have you, has been something I'm learning and something I'm working on still, and has been a pretty big life lesson through learning how to mob program and pair program and all of that. Like, you really do have to speak up.
Especially if you don't understand that something, like, you know, it's likely that other people on the team might not also understand something, you know, and so you're going to be a voice for that. Yeah. But then also the piece of, like, if you don't understand that thing that was just referenced, like, you need to pause, get information before you can then keep going with it too. And it, yeah, letting go of the ego is huge, and it's just a massive thing to kind of, it's a hurdle to work through, but once you do, it's like, cool, I can ask any question. It doesn't mean I'm not smart. Like, I deserve to be here. But yeah, and hopefully we find great teams where they're like, yeah, cool, I love that you asked that question. Like, let's work through that together. Let me explain it. And then it's not a reflection of like your intellectual status by any means.
100%.
Can you tell me about a time maybe you felt like an outsider and how you dealt with those feelings?
I think probably any time that anybody uses a lot of jargon, jargon and acronyms left and right, always it just kills me every time. I'm like, part of it annoys me a little bit. Like, obviously not everybody is going to understand this, communicate better, but it definitely does make me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, how do you then, do you just in your speech kind of practice spelling everything out, trying to like model by example?
Yeah, I definitely do a fair bit of that. Try to stay away from the acronyms as much as possible. And, you know, I think coming back to the teaching thing of assessing understanding, like being able to know where the people are that I'm working with, like, have they worked in this a lot? Have they worked in this just a little bit? And then changing your speech to reflect that, I think, is really useful for the people that are listening.
I like that. Recently, I've been doing rapid fire questions at the end of episodes. Can we do some?
Oh, sure.
Favorite app on your phone?
Oh, dear. Libby, actually, is...
I love Libby.
It's wonderful. Oh, Libby.
tell our listeners what Libby is.
Libby is an app where you can connect to your local library and download audiobooks and listen to audiobooks for free.
Yes.
It's great.
It is the best. I have so many libraries on there. Libby, don't come at me. Like, every time I move to a new neighborhood, I'm like, immediately get the new one so I can, if I'm hunting for a book, I go to each one and search and... Oh, yeah. And audiobooks and Kindle books, too, if you have a Kindle. Oh, my gosh. Freaking great answer. Go download it if you haven't, folks.
Agreed.
Okay. Favorite tech stack?
Oh, dear. I like so many different tech stacks. Anytime I get an opportunity to learn something new, it's just exciting to me.
So whatever you're working on currently,
pretty kind much. Of thing.
Yeah. Hey, that's a fair answer. How would you define your style of learning?
Voracious. I really do love learning. I mean, that's something that I'm so excited about being in the software engineering field, is that I get to learn for the rest of my life as a career. Like, that 100%. Sounds great.
There is no excuse to plateau in this industry, period. Not end of story. Yeah, for sure. If you could go back and tell yourself some bit of wisdom, when would you pick and what would you say?
Gosh, I mean, there's so many things where, you know, I could go back to working, or back to when I was looking at becoming a teacher, and say, don't go that route. But honestly, I think now is a good time for me to get into where I'm at. And I don't know if I would go back and change how I did it.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I mean, honestly, because a part of this whole podcast is also about embracing the journey and seizing like the good assets and the parts of things that we learned along the way. Right. And so, yeah, I think that that's kind of an awesome philosophy to have.
Yeah.
What's something you're excited to learn next?
Terraform is my thing right now. Terraform. It's cool. It's real neat.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Yeah, that's a fun space to dive into. And it seems like growing chatter on it too. So that's like always fun to be up on. Yeah. Yeah. That's like what peeps are talking about on the interwebs. What's a good book you've read recently?
The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue.
Oh my gosh. It is on my Libby list. Right now. It's just a long wait. Okay, cool.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Yes. I bawled for multiple hours while reading that in different times. So
I'm not excited for that emotion, but like I am. Okay. All right. Well, no, Mindy, make your shout out. What would you like listeners to go check out?
I'm just going to be another repeat of Colab Lab, because it's amazing.
Lab. They're currently running, like they made it through COVID and all the things.
They did. They actually started off remote. So COVID hasn't affected them much at all. And it's open. They specifically are working towards folks who are underrepresented in tech as well, which I love so much about that particular organization.
Yes. Man, oh, that is great. I am so stoked to check them out. And of course, listeners, for you to see them as well. Okay, Mindy, where can people find you online?
Best place is probably Twitter. I'm Mindy_joy.
What a happy, happy username.
It's my middle name.
Also just my name.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, this has been so fun. I quickly noticed while looking at your LinkedIn while we're chatting that you do stand up improv comedy. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah. My husband works at an improv theater here in Portland. And I have spent hours upon hours upon hours at Curious Comedy Theater. I have gone through all of the classes. And honestly, I could probably do a whole nother podcast on the value of improv as a software engineer.
I was going to say, I bet that ends up coming into like a ton of different moments useful.
It does.
I like rearranged that sentence incorrectly, but you know what I mean. That's awesome. That's really cool. Anyhow, thank you so much for being a guest today and sharing your story and all the advice and, you know, the really tangible bits of kind of resources. That is like super, super appreciated. And yeah, I couldn't appreciate you more.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a great time.
Of course. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
And that's a wrap on today's episode. I'm Lauren Lee. Thank you for listening to We Belong Here. If you have any questions about this or any other episode, find me on Twitter at LoloCoding. That's LoloCoding. Shoot me an email or leave a comment on the We Belong Here website. If you enjoyed this episode, please, please, please subscribe and review the show on your podcast player of choice. And be sure to check us out next week for another story and lessons learned from an unconventional path to tech.